a Bible this morning. Well, you're not going to need it. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. You will need it. You will need it. We're talking about Say Yes to Breakthrough. This is part two. And this is going to be a good message. And I left the bad message at home. This is a good one. And you're going to enjoy it. So, but anyway, this whole Say Yes series, what it's for is to encourage you and build your faith into becoming the person that God really has called you and designed you to be, and to say yes to what God's doing in your life, and to be a person who really goes for it, you know? If you think about it and you read your Bible, all through the Bible, front to back, is full of people, men and women, that went for it. That's why they're in there, you know? And they didn't leave anything behind. And I want you to say to yourself today, God, I'm willing to really go for it in my life. I want to go for it. You know, I don't want to come to the end of my life and stand before the Lord, right? This body's done with. I go and I meet Christ, and you know, Jesus, he's going to come running down, but I don't want him to come running down and grab me and go, man, you barely made it. Really glad to see you. I was biting my nails over a minute, but you squeaked in, my brother, because he will, and he'll love me. But I don't want to be like, I don't want to make it like that, man. I want Jesus to say, there he is, the dude that went for it. How about you? Are you willing to really go for it? Are you willing to do it? If you will make the commitment with me today to say, Lord, I'm willing to absolutely go for it with you, your life will change. But it has to be a real thing. It can't just be some fake thing. I don't know about you, but you've probably played church one too many times. Because I've been there. But it's time to say, forget all of that. I'm done playing church. I want to be like Julie and winning my friends to the Lord and seeing God move. You know, I want to worship like Kathy did this morning, leaving everything up here. Girl, you didn't take nothing with you. He left it all up here. And it brought us in. It helped us to break free and break through. But we should be doing that not only just in church, but everywhere we go. To say that we're people who will go for it, 100%. To pray for people when they're sick. I mean, I've prayed for so many people that have been healed, but I have also prayed for so many people that have not been healed. And I don't know why. And I don't pretend to try to figure it out. I know there's a million different people that teach online about why people get healed and why they don't. And then they still go for pray for people, and they still have people that don't get healed. It is something you can't figure out. But what I want to do is always present myself to those people to pray for them and to minister over them and to give them everything that I've got while I'm here. Because once I'm gone, that's it. There will be nothing left that I can give. I will be with the Father, and it's going to be great. It's going to be way better than here. But everything I do here has a consequence and a reward in eternity. And everything that I don't do has a consequence. It has, there are things that, and it's not about works, trust me. It all comes from a place of intimacy. But we have to begin to be people that will say, I'll go for it. How many of you are with me? This Say Yes series is so that we will be people who will say yes and go for it. So let me ask you something. Have you ever walked into a glass door that you thought was open? You know, you see people do this. It's pretty funny. And and you go, you know, like those really clean, huge glass windows. And it's a department store. And so you're just walking in and it's all glass, you know, and you're just da, 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 da. And you see these people. And when they crash into the door, it's usually something like this. You know, it's like everything is pushed and you can't go through it. That's right. So the first thing you do, what happens when you do that? You know, you're walking in, you're all jacked up by it. And the first thing you do is look around. Did anybody see that? And somebody probably did. Depends on where you are. If you get lucky enough to have no one witness it, you just move on your way. But there probably someone's going to see it. Have you ever gone to open a door and it's like you went to, the door was locked and you just went to turn the handle and the door was locked? And so you went like this. And same thing, all up in the door. And you look around, did anybody see that? And you're just like, you know, hopefully nobody does. Well, there are spiritual doors that God wants to open us up for our lives in this season. How many of you know that? He wants to open doors for us. Some will open easily. Others will be more difficult to open. Either way, there are doors that God has set before us. How many of you know that? God has set doors before you that you can open, that He's wanting you to open. Many of them are swung wide open, and God's like, just come on, come through the door. Many doors will open and close in our lifetime. Some doors need to be open, and others need to be shut. How many of you have doors in your life you need to shut? There are open doors in your life that are still pulling you in the wrong direction toward that thing. And you need to just shut it, you know? Slam that sucker, man. Let it rip. Give it a big boot, that thing, you know? Shut the door. Some we need to go through and others we need to avoid. When we listen to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to guide us, we will know which doors to go through, which doors to lock, which doors to push open, and which doors to leave alone. This is a season to open new doors in the many facets of our lives. The church should always be ready to open new doors. We're on a journey in areas that we've never been before. We're praying about opportunities we've never had before. We have to ask ourselves, what new doors are waiting for me to go through in this season? What opportunities could be in front of me? Here's where you need your Bible, Revelation 3:8. So if you have a Bible, go to Revelation 3:8. Says this, I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. So you should, God has opened a door for us no one can close. And so you should really believe this morning and write this on your heart. God has opened a door for me no one can shut. No one, no thing, no principality, no power, nothing can shut it. When God opens a door before us, there is nothing that can shut it. All we can do is be hindered to get there. But nothing can shut a door God has opened. That door is open. God knows us and everything about us. He knows this year. He knows 2017. He knows every month of this year. He knows every hour of this year, every day, every minute, every second. He knows everything about 2017. And all we got to do is say, great, God knows it all. All I have to do is surrender my life, give up, and let God guide me, and He knows every piece of it. One request of the Lord from each of us should be, Lord, show me the door you've opened for me. That should be something that we just agree to say this morning. Lord, show me the door you've opened up for me. And then you just wait until you see it. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So Paul was in Ephesus at this time teaching to a growing church. The Bible tells us that in Acts 19 that unusual miracles were taking place. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see some unusual miracles. You know, show us something unusual. Oh, well, that was not normal. You know, like, well, that was a little unusual, but hey, God did it. I would love to see something like that going on in the church, going on in my life, going on in my neighborhood, in the stores where I go, everywhere I go. Also in Acts 19 and 20, it says, this is verse 19. This is crazy. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was 50,000 pieces of silver, which today would be several million dollars. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. That's a lot of books. I don't know about you. That's a lot of incantation books, okay? That's a lot of sorcery books that are just going on. Wouldn't it be great for God to move in such a way in our city, in our church, people just start bringing all that garbage out and just burn it all? Wouldn't it be great for all the psychic eye stores to just shut down? Guess what? We're bringing all our books out. We're just having a fire. How cool would that be? Unusual miracles. It was a great and effective door opened to Paul. Many miracles happened, unusual miracles. The word of the Lord grew mightily. Many lives were changed. The doors that God opens before us are fruitful and productive, and they produce great growth in our lives. When God opens a door for you, it is going to be a fruitful door. It's going to produce growth. It's going to draw you closer to God. However, there's a second part to that verse. It says, there are many adversaries. It was also in Ephesus that Demetrius the silversmith stirred up a riot against Paul. How many of you remember that? It created such havoc in the whole city that it was all in an uproar. The entire city was in an uproar. That great door that was opened to Paul, that he saw many great things happen, also had many adversaries. How many of you feel like you're in a season in your life where there are adversaries trying to rise up against you from entering into what God has for you? That's because the greater the door, the more adversaries that show up. Think about it. The greater the door, the more adversaries that will show up, the more the enemy is worried about you making it through that door. And so the bigger the door, the more the adversaries. The smaller the door, the smaller the adversary is. For every great door that God has set before us, there are opponents and adversaries who desire to shut the door and stop us from entering. Think about an adversary like this, the adversary of unconquered fear. You have any unconquered fear in your life? You could. You could. There are things, I'll be honest with you, there are things that I fear, okay, that I have to get over. Let me just tell you one, just one. I have a fear of flying. And I have flown all over the world. Countries. And you know what I do? I just get in the plane and I just white knuckle that sucker until I get down. I'd rather do that than be stuck here. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you have to do that. You just get on an airplane and you just, I'm going, God. You know, I just don't like it. But after I flew to countries in Europe and different places, you know, you get to where it's less of a fear for you. But you know what? You may have to step into where you are right now a little bit white knuckled and just let God take you. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? You got to just let God do it. And it might be scary. It may be scary. But as you continue to grow with God and do what God wants you to do, he will help you to get less and less fearful of it. Okay? I can get on an airplane now. It's not near as bad as it was. Okay? I mean, I'm not one of these people that would run out of the plane or lose their mind. You know, oh my God, the plane's going down. You know, I'm not going to do that. But let me tell you something. I'm in that plane. I didn't like it. The adversary of spiritual stagnation. You know, here's the deal with that. If you ever feel like you're spiritually stuck, you just have to surrender. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. You have to let go of all of the things in your life and you surrender. And what that means is you go to God and you say, God, I'm over myself. I give up. God says, hallelujah. The angels begin singing in heaven. Holy, holy is the Lord. Because this person just gave up. I can do a miracle in this. The adversary of small dreams. If you have small dreams, it's because you don't believe that you're worthy of anything bigger than that. And you know what? You're not. But Jesus is. And it's Christ in you that is worthy of the biggest dreams you could possibly imagine. None of us are worthy. The Bible says not even one. But as soon as Jesus came into our life, it's not us. It's Jesus that is doing what he's doing. It's his righteousness that is so amazing in us. The adversary of it's too late for me. It's never too late. And it's that simple. You just got to get over it. It's not too late. It's never too late. The adversary of emptiness. You know, emptiness comes when we try to get our value from anything but God. See, because you can be super rich and super famous and be as empty as it comes. Seriously. If you try to get your worth from anything or any place but God, you'll feel empty. And then all you got to do is say, wow, forgive me for that, Lord. You know what repentance is? It's just turning around and you face God. God, here I am. I've been empty without you. I want you. And he comes in and he will fill you up with the only thing that can make you feel any sort of worth. The adversary of settling for good instead of pushing for great. How many of you have done that? Settled for just good. That's good. I'm okay with good. Good is good. But it's not great. But maybe great is good too. Maybe I should go for great. You know, you should talk yourself through these things. Good is good, but great is better. And can I have great? Yeah, I can. Well, then go for great. Let go of just settling. Don't settle. Come on. That was a good place to say amen. I mean, amen. We must face these adversaries head on and remove them from the door. There are doors of new adventure opened ahead of us. Doors of new levels of faith ahead of us. Doors of great opportunity ahead of us. Doors of new hope. Doors that God has decided and chosen to open. Doors we never even thought about waiting ahead of us. Lord, help us see the doors. It's a good prayer. Lord, help us to see the door. Help us to walk through the door you've opened. Help us to avoid the wrong doors. Help us to lock the doors we should never go through again. I'm telling you right now, some of us need to just be locking doors right and left. Ch-ch-ch, I'm done, baby. Ch-ch-ch. Every wrong door is around us. Lock them all up and turn to God, and you'll go through the right door. So there's just two keys that I want to give you to opening new doors. Number one is in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. So it's Philippians 3, 13 and 14. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of God in Christ Jesus. We cannot go through new doors when we're standing with our back facing the new door, looking at the old door. One thing I do, I go through. I mean, you don't walk through doors like this. You know, this is, turn around. It's easier. If you're facing the old door, you can't walk through the new one. We have to close the old doors of the past and move to the future. Come on. I got to say that again, because there are many of us in this room. Close the old doors to the past and move to the future. You got to move, but you got to close the old doors. They have to be left. I'm leaving them and I'm going where I got to go. Shut the doors of destructive relationships. Oh, I'm leaving. See you later. I got to go. Shut the doors of destructive relationships. Man, these relationships that will keep you down and keep you bound. They're just like a fence. It's like an offense fest. It's like the buffet of offense, you know. But sometimes, you know, the Bible says, woe to those that cause offense. You know, some people are so flippin' offensive. Can you say flippin'? I just did. They're offensive. And they are so offensive. And you know what? It's okay to say, you know what? You just need Jesus, but I got to go. Serious. I got to go. I'm moving on. You know, they're just a rototiller for offense, you know, and you have to move on from those. And you know, we don't get offended. We don't. Right. Right. We don't get offended. But sometimes you got to move into a place where you're at peace and rest and you're moving with God. And so those rototiller type folks, they got to till somewhere else. You're not tilling my ground anymore. But we love them sometimes. Love never controls. So we shut the doors of destructive relationships. We must reconcile past offenses. Reconcile past offenses. Closing the doors of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. Yeah. You know what? Anytime this comes up in my life, which it does, let me tell you something. Sometimes you think, I think, we're free. I dealt with that, and there it is again. That same knucklehead is in my mind. Living rent-free right here. No. Not anymore. We got to just say no and release the offense and let it go. And I'll tell you, just be diligent in that. Anytime it comes up, release it. God bless them. How you know you're getting over, man, is when you begin to pray for real blessing to hit them. And then when it does, you're happy for them. If you can get there, you done went past it. You got it. You pray for blessing over their life, and when that blessing hits them, you're happy for them. So shut the doors. We got to shut the doors of bad habits and old patterns and ways of doing things. I think we all have habits and ways of doing things where God, you know, even in the church, we have just ways of doing things. God is saying, would you just come up a little higher, please? Just come up. I want to show you new things. I want to take you to new places. I want to show you new ways of doing things that maybe you've never thought of. Really, God? Like, there's something you know that I haven't thought of? You ever approach God that way? You know something I don't? Man. We have to shut the doors of wrong ways of thinking and acting. Shut the doors of regret. If you have regrets, remember, yesterday does not control today unless you allow it to. Unless I allow it to. Shut the doors of regret. Yesterday's hurts, we leave them in yesterday. We have to stop griping about the way things are. We got to quit complaining about what we could have been. You know, it's so amazing. We think about what we could have been, and God's like, I didn't want you to be that. That's why you're not. Think about it. Instead, we see the grace of God in our lives. Instead, by His grace, it is who we are. It's only because of His grace that we are what we are. It's by His grace that He'll use us just the way He created us. We can't go through a new door without walking away from the old door. You can't go through two doors at once. So walk away from those old things and step into new things. That's number one. The second one and the last one is ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. But how many of you love the Amplified version? Come on. That was a good place to say amen. I said Amplified, you say amen. You know what it says in the Amplified? Thank you, Scott. Keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find it. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be open to you. Who snuck reverently in there? He probably wrote at first, just keep on knocking. And he's like, oh, because you know what? We can go arrogantly to God. Why, God, do I not have it yet? What are you doing up there? He's like, I'm doing whatever I want. What are you doing down there? Ask reverently. What specific things are you asking for? Think about that. What are you asking God for right now? You're in a phase of life right now. You're in a season of life right now. What are you asking God for? And then ask yourself this. Are you asking confidently? Are you asking confidently? Are your plans large or are they little plans? Just with like little blueprints, you know, little ones. Oh, yeah. There's a plan in there somewhere. You know, blueprints are meant to be rolled out. Pray big prayers. Hudson Taylor said it this way. The prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of the divine power and grace wrought in places of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge in Jeremiah 33. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I hope that you are asking for the great and mighty things of God. God doesn't have a small and wimpy drawer. Oh, He's asking for a small wimpy plan. Here it is. Give Him all of them small and wimpy. Everybody, give it to them. Small, wimpy plans. Jeremiah 33, mighty things. Joshua 17, this is an interesting passage. In Joshua 17, the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh approached Joshua as the land was being divided up. And you'll remember this. The land's being divided up. And here's what they said in chapter 17, verse 14. They said to Joshua, why have you given us only one lot and one share of inheritance? Since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now, why are you only giving us one piece? And so Joshua's response is, you are a great people and have great power. And you shall not have only one lot, but the mountain country is all yours too. How cool is that? Do you have that mindset of God? That God has unlimited resource and supply. But are you asking Him for just one little piece? God, just give me the little piece I can stand on and do nothing on it because it's so small I can only fit my feet. Or are you asking God God, you have everything and you have infinite supply. Are you asking God for the great and mighty things for your life? What are you asking God for? So Joshua said, no, you guys get the whole mountain country. Awesome. That's the best part, man. There's like lakes hidden up there and you can fish in there. You know, you can do some trout fishing, stream fishing. It's beautiful. You got seasons and whatnot. Lots of trees. You can build anything you want. It's like, hallelujah. He gave us the mountains. Great. Well, God wants to do that with us too. One lot was not enough. God had blessed us. He has blessed them. He is going to continue to bless us. They asked greatly and God gave greatly. How many of you ever heard of A.B. Simpson? Founder of Christian Missionary Alliance. How many of you know who that is? He said this, do we know the power of our supernatural weapon? Do we dare to use it with the authority of a faith that commands as well as asks? God grant us holy audacity and divine confidence. He is not wanting great men. He is wanting great people who will dare to prove the greatness of their God. Think about that. Are you willing to prove the greatness of God in your life by what not only you will ask for, but what you will agree with? What are you asking for? What are you willing to agree with? I'm willing to agree with above and beyond what I could ever ask or think. I agree with that, Lord. I'm not looking at the outward things. I don't care what it seems like now. God, I know you're great. So you got to think about that. How great is God? Are we asking according to his greatness or according to our own comfort level? You know, have you ever done that? You just ask God, or you request of God, just according to what you can handle. Are we asking small or large? Are we asking according to his will or our own? Are we asking according to his promise or just what we can believe for? Think about this. If you could ask for anything, anything, if God just said to you, he just appeared in your room, there he is at the end of your bed, and he goes, Dean, ask me of anything. It's yours right now. You have a minute. What would you ask for? What could you possibly ask for? What could you ask for? What would you be willing to ask for? What door would you knock on? If God set before you door number one, door number two, and door number three, and he said, let's make a deal. What door would you be willing to knock on? Or would you be willing to say, God, I'll take all three doors? Let's make a deal, God. I'll take door one, two, and three. Matthew 7:7 again says, ask because I'm waiting to hear you ask so I can give. Seek, I can be found by you. Knock, and I have some great doors to open for you. How many of you believe that this morning? How many of you just really believe that? There's nothing that God is missing or lacking. Are you willing to knock on the door and say, God, I'm coming in. This thing is opening up. Are you willing to have large plans and be available and willing to say, God, I'm going to receive all of it. Thank you very much. God's like, cool. I was just looking for somebody with a little bit of courage that could say to me, Lord, I'll take everything you have for me. If you were to think about what is it that is everything God has for you. What is it? If God said, I could show you right now every single thing I have for you, what do you think would be there? I think that you could not even fathom it right now where you sit, where I stand. We could not even imagine it. God, you have got to be kidding me. He's like, I don't kid. Come on, stand up. Let's ask the Lord to pour on us everything that we need. Remember, this is say yes to breakthrough part two. Sometimes to break through, you simply need to knock on God's door and just say, Lord, give me everything you got. Lay it on me. Do in me. Here's another prayer. This is a risky one, but this one pays off every time. God, do in me everything you got to do so I can be everything you've asked me to be. That's a risky prayer, but it pays off every single time. You will never be disappointed. If you're part of the prayer team, come on up. Just come on forward. We give you the opportunity every Sunday If you need prayer, you need a prophetic word, you need someone to minister healing over your body, over your life, anything that you need, these folks are equipped to do that, equipped to minister in that way. So we want to give you the opportunity to come up and receive prayer. And before we do that, I just want to pray over all of you. That we will have the courage to say yes to breakthrough and say yes to everything God has for us. That we won't be afraid to receive it. That we won't be afraid of what it looks like. We leave everything in the past and we go forward fresh this moment from this spot, brand new. Let's pray that together. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness this morning, that your plans are mighty and great. And so I pray for every person in this room, God, that you will refresh us and that you will reignite in us the plans that you have designed before the foundation of the world over our lives, the plans that are mighty and great. They are those things, Lord, that you've called us to, that maybe we forgot or maybe we left behind. Lord, we turn now from every past thing and we say yes to you in Jesus' name. We say yes to breaking through. We say yes to meeting you and encountering you in new ways. We say yes to moving forward in Jesus' name. We say yes to you, Lord, that every single thing you have for us, God, we want every piece of it. We don't want to miss out on a single part. And Lord, we know that it is not with pride or any other way that we come to you, but we come to you, Lord, in full surrender, in complete release. We release everything in and of ourselves, God. We come to you in complete surrender, in an intimate personal time with you, Lord, to say, Lord, we are knocking on the door. And that you have opened the door for us, Lord, and we're going to step through, we're going to walk through in Jesus' name. We're going to leave every old thing in the past. Lord, help us to be those that build new relationships, Lord, where we don't have to leave anything else in the past, but the relationships are godly, they're right, they're true, they're right where you want us to be, God. And so, Father, I thank you for every heart in this room, and I pray you touch every heart in this room with your plans, your passion, your encouragement, your excitement, your courage, in Jesus' name.